Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, man, we are absolutely live. We are on Thursday. I just saw something that caught my eye. We'll get there in time, though. Kevin Walsh, down the right side. It's the early line. It's hour number two on, again, a nice Thursday morning here. The PGA Championship is underway. The first groups are starting to tee off now. Your favorites to win this thing are Jon Rahm and Scottie Scheffler at 12-1. Not all too far back. 14-1 is Rory McIlroy. I gotta get straight to the story here. Hold on a minute now. First group teeing off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man.
John Daly. Now I'm like, oh, this is probably some like ceremonial thing here. He's got odds. He's 100. What is he now here? He's 1,000-1 to win this thing. He's 56 years old. I mean, throwing it down with John Daly at the age of 56 making a magical ride.
I'll tell you, I don't know if I'm down with John Daly making it a magical ride, but me sitting here on this show going, boy, tomorrow it's going to be really interesting when the PGA actually tees off, so we got a day to prepare for this. I was actually going to ask, like, if we had a video or not to prompt it. I was like, oh, maybe that's coming tomorrow for the start of the PGA Championship. So sensational as I sit here on a Thursday morning looking at the odds. We're going, okay, I got a day to figure this thing out. And as Kevin is saying, we have an 8 o'clock tee time today. I'm like, wow. The PGA Championship does start today. So here I am in full participation mode.
Man, I like, though, and this is where you really are, you know, DRS to shine, right? Is you go, hey, Donnie, here's this question, right? Donnie knows enough about golf. We're just talking about John Daly. Donnie goes, no. I can't fool you all. I have no idea what's going on. That's what he does. Yeah. Always, each and every time, keeps it completely honest, man. Little too much, honestly.
And keeping it real. It's great, though, because I look at that because I see the Tiger Woods, you know, odds boost, which we'll talk about. But I, honest to God, like, I know today's Thursday. I woke up. I have it written down right here. Thursday Major League Baseball schedule. And no matter how many times we put PGA in the rundown here, ooh, did you see that odds boost? And all I kept thinking to myself is, yeah, it'll be an interesting tomorrow what I'm going to do spending my time watching the first day of the PGA Championship. And yet here we are with John Daly teeing off here at this point. Perfect. Perfect way to get this tournament underway, Kevin.
You start your day by writing down the day of the week on a piece of paper.
I do.
That's how you start your day.
Told you. And I write the day down. It's Thursday. The second thing I see on there is remember to breathe today. That's the way I start my days off right there. So we got to get the engine pumping here. By 9 o'clock, I'm ready to go. I'll go another 2 hours. But 7 to 9, sometimes a little questionable over here.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing we operate from 7 to 9, man. It's a good thing we operate from 7 to 9.
I mean, Mondays on TMA, they're saying that's some of the best TV and radio we've ever seen. This guy is hot coming in. But sometimes 7 to 9 a.m., sometimes we don't understand what's going on here at times. But it's
yeah. And when you say we, you mean you, man. Look, here's the deal.
I mean we.
No. Rarely, if ever. Rarely. Oh, you know what? The we will apply next segment when Rick Haro shows up here. That'll be a full
maybe a couple spoilers too next hour. Yeah.
No. All right. As we were. Uh-huh. Jon Rahm 12-1. Scottie Scheffler 12-1. Rory McIlroy 14-1. Spieth, Thomas, and Cam Smith. Would Pat Cantlay round out a top seven here of guys that are 20-1 or less? You know, the interesting thing, obviously, with this PGA Championship here is you've got all the big guys out there, but it's always Tiger that catches the eye, right? The FanDuel Sportsbook, when it comes to providing you a golf boost or really any boost, they don't throw you John Daly, right? Look, they don't throw you Sam Burns, right? They throw you Tiger Woods. Radio audiences here on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh down your right side. The early line, Thursday morning. Everyone's good. It's Thursday. Tiger Woods. How about a PMI super boost here? Tiger Woods to shoot 70 or under in round one of the 2022 PGA Championship from plus 175 to plus 300.
Now, I don't think it actually happens, but if you could say, all right, build a case for me on why this would make some sense. You saw it in the Masters. Now, the Masters, Tiger Woods, you play there every single year. He's probably played hundreds of rounds. Not the case on the golf course that they're going to be playing today. But if there are issues with health issues, right, where I'm just looking to get my way around the course, and I hope my back and my leg holds up and my side holds up by Saturday morning, what's the best round that you're going to get out of Tiger Woods? What's the most healthy that Tiger Woods is going to be? And also, Tiger Woods doesn't have nerves in these events. He's played these hundreds of times and won multiple majors here, which, quite frankly, has won a lot of PGA championships. So if you were to, which I'm not going to bet this, but if you were, the one round that you would bet Tiger Woods to have a good round for me, Kevin, is round one of this PGA championship.
So, yes, but you're being nice. You're being nice. Two under.
I am. You want me to be mad? Mean?
Two, yeah. Could be. Come on now. Listen.
You got no shot at this, man.
Come on now. I mean, listen. Let's be real here, folks. That was the nicest thing I think Donnie's maybe ever done was lay out for that boost. Look, by the way, it's a smart boost. People want to be in the mix with Tiger Woods there. And maybe he does pop off. I agree, right? Mm-hmm. I'd much rather take my chance that he's two under on, you know, for round one than basically say, well, this guy shoot it even for the – like, that's the thing, like – is there any chance that Tiger goes even throughout, you know, a four-day event here? Well, let's ask this quickly before we move on. Make or miss cut Tiger Woods. Made it at the Masters. He's minus money to make it. Round of minus 130, minus 140 price there. Does he make the cut here at the PGA Championship?
I'm going no, he misses the cut in this tournament. I am.
I'll still – see, now that I got Donnie to play the heel, I'll babyface it. How could you, Donnie? How could you? That's Tiger Woods. Of course he'll make the cut. Of course he will. Rick Arum is here next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know. Can you believe it, Donnie? Rick Haro. I mean, this guy was going to be here. We were going to break down all the slander Nick Saban's offering to Texas A&M, rehash the Brady contract, pulled the rug out from right underneath us.
Yeah, maybe somewhere in an arena in a separate room with a lot of really nice cameras, and he's got other plans for us, but not today. Not today on the early line, K-Dub.
He's talking to people more important than us. It's a good point by you. We keep it moving, though, because you know what, man? I had a feeling. Major League Baseball preview was always on tabs here. It begins, man, I hope it begins with Yankees Orioles. My rundown won't load. Is Yankees Orioles the first game? Because forbid I go off of what Donnie wants the first game to be.
Look who's unprepared right now here. We get a bit where we're supposed to come up. We have a guest here. The guest doesn't come on. The only guy that's ready for this segment, it's right here, your boy DRS, because it is the Yankees and the Orioles live from that travesty of a ballpark, as Aaron Judge calls it, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Zimmerman, the lefty on the mound today, versus Montgomery, the lefty on the mound today. So when we take a look at these two pitchers, Kevin, what makes them sense? How about this? Weighted on base percentages for them, really low. If we take a look at Zimmerman, who is a left-handed pitcher, dominant against lefties this season, Kevin. It's only faced 21 batters so far. It's a 190 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 100. Righties, a 309 and a 158. So he's been doing some damage here, and certainly that's going to help them in that bigger ballpark. Take a look at Montgomery, 4.37 xFIP number, but he's also been dominant to lefties. A 137 weighted on base percentage, a 0 ISO to righties, Kevin, 297 and 125. So this game, to me, in that ballpark, 1235 start, is playing to an under for me today.
Yeah, it makes sense. We've seen, you know, the Yanks and the O's play their fair share of unders. Obviously, I know I'm thinking probably to some degree about the early season matchups, but those were the ones at Camden Yards here, right? And Look, the ballpark is messy. It's bad. I would think Orioles fans would acknowledge it's bad. I mean, they ruined what was kind of the crowning achievement of their organization, it felt like, at least in recent times. It's just everyone saying, man, what a ballpark, though. Great place to go and watch baseball be played. The one thing I'm interested in, right, we talk again about, history against a guy. And I always find it funny because I do think at times you see numbers matter. Here's why I say that. Do you have Kyle Higashioka profiled tonight for how he matches up against Bruce Zimmerman?
Yeah, 22 at-bats this year versus left-handed pitching for Higashioka, 100 ISO, which is bad, and an even worse weighted on-base percentage of 254. Yeah. So if you want to call that a matchup, that's what it is.
Okay, again, so, and that's what I expected for Kyle Higashioka, right? A guy who's batting .169 on the season. So you would think Kyle Higashioka to get a hit would be what? -115, but he is 4-for-6 lifetime against Bruce Zimmerman, and that's good enough to get him up to a -170. But the thing is, who's going -170 on a guy that's batting .170? Like, the price is the batting average with a minus number? Yeah, yes, yeah. And that's the other thing too, right? Like, how many at-bats am I getting at? You know, obviously if everybody else kind of steps up there, but you're really capping yourself at what, 4 at-bats? He's also an easy sub candidate if it's a close game and you need a pinch hitter. He's the first guy you yank out. I gotta tell you, folks, like, they don't offer no hits here, but if you're telling me I get a +145 on Kyle Higashioka to not get a hit, wouldn't you take a taste of something like that?
But it would be so interesting to watch that, too, if you're just betting no hit. Like, you see that 3-1 count. You're like, yeah, I love this. One more ball and you walk him, where a 3-1 count is supposed to be a sensational batting. Like, hey, I got a great shot. This pitcher's got to come after me. And how many times have you seen it? Like, oh, man, I would rather my guy have, like, a 1-2 count than a 3-1 count, which sounds ludicrous, but that's the way you cheer it on, because a walk does you no good in those circumstances, but a walk does you really good if you're betting no hits there. That is an interesting one, too, because you're right. In that 8-hole, what are you getting? Maybe a maximum of 4 at bats, and if this game is 3-2 in the eighth inning, where you have a pitch up, or did you have a mismatch, I should say, against a certain pitcher, he is going to come out of that lineup.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, we'll keep this thing moving here. Just so you're fully aware, we are going in chronological order, as in all of the sudden, I do not have the ability to pull up the list that you have put these in, which is unfortunate and has never happened before in the history of this show. Phillies Padres, are we good? Is that where you're, folks? You have to understand, I throw Donnie a curveball, man, and it's a scramble. Yeah. It's a scramble job for like the first 50 seconds of his answer.
Still haven't found these player parlays in the NBA yet, which is kind of interesting here. So, but we'll play off those.
I saw you crack a smile when I brought up the Heat Celtics.
No idea where these things are at. Ridiculous.
That's besides the point. Kyle Gibson, Yu Darvish. Kyle Gibson favored over Yu Darvish. Total's an 8. I don't know. On the surface, that feels surprising, but Yu Darvish has not had himself a great season. Kyle Gibson's capable of having himself a good game. Are the Phillies justified here as the favorites at home versus the Padres?
I think they are justified here, and maybe a Bryce Harper coming back into the lineup will help the Phillies. They got some great pitching yesterday. Zach Wheeler, 3-0 win over the Padres. So that rubber match today between the San Diego Padres and the Phillies to see who's going to win this series. Here's one of the things that keeps popping up this year, and this, quite frankly, we're going to go over a couple games that have this. Take a look at Yu Darvish. If I tell you right now, xFIP number 5.05, it's terrible. You're not going to get away with that long in Major League Baseball. And Yu Darvish is a Cy Young caliber type pitcher. Obviously not at this stage of his career, but still a good one. But it doesn't match up in one way, Kevin, because that xFIP is high, which usually means the weighted on base averages and the ISO power numbers reflect that. But they're not. And again, it's that whole effect of you can get away with fly balls because the baseball isn't traveling as far. Look at his weighted on base percentage. 78 lefties he's faced, Kevin. 260 with an 072. That's Cy Young caliber here. Look at righties here. 85 batters that he's faced. 298 with a 125 ISO power number. Very, very good. If you line up this Phillies lineup, which actually does have some good guys, some guys in the lineup that can hit right-handed pitching, you think the Phillies probably could get underway and do some damage. If we take a look at Kyle Gibson, he is under 5 as an xFIP. It's a 4.19, so it's better than Yu Darvish here. But he also having some very good statistics here. If we look at the left-handed batters, which you're going to get Grisham, Profar, Hosmer, and looks like Cronenworth in the lineup today, Gibson has handled left-handed pitchers, excuse me, left-handed hitters very well since he's a right-handed pitcher. 267 weighted on base percentage in an ISO of 091. To be honest, I expect the Phillies in this game. I think Kyle Gibson, the better pitcher today for the Phillies over the Padres.
And how about these splits? So Kyle Gibson here, right, on the season. Now, small sample size, I'm aware, but mm-hmm. stick with me. All right. A 1.93 ERA at home and a 6.27 on the road. How about you, Darvish? A 1.37 at home and a 7.91 on the road this year for you, Darvish. So basically, Kyle Gibson at home wins the Cy Young, and Yu Darvish on the road looks like he belonged in last year's Baltimore Oriole rotation. I think it makes sense to go after the Philadelphia Phillies. Let me not force another game in here. What is the temperature around the Bryce Harper injury in Philadelphia? This is very bizarre to me. Can't throw, has to DH for over a month. What are the vibes around the Phil's most important player?
Now, how about this? Bryce Harper having an unbelievable season at the plate. Let's just roll back the clock here to before the season and something goes wrong where the DH doesn't get put in the play in the National League. Bryce Harper's probably out for the entire season. How about that? But instead, he can hit at the plate. They're giving him injections in his throwing arm, particularly in his elbow, because something is wrong. I guess it's the UCL where they're trying to say, give him the platelet, you know, injection, see if it just gets better, but you can throw. Because as you know, you can't be a right fielder, and if the ball comes hit to you where you can only throw it 5 feet or you have to throw it with your opposite hand, that can't happen here. But the fact of the matter, now the DH is in the National League is massive for the Phillies because you could still hide Bryce Harper as a DH. You wouldn't be able to do that. It'd be interesting to see this Phillies season if Bryce Harper was down on the 60-day IL or out for the season.
Yeah, it would obviously make a huge difference, which is why the DH is fantastic. And it's great news for the Phils that the reigning NL MVP will remain out there on the field. We'll hit some more Major League Baseball games after a quick break here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just talk to Phillies Padres, expecting the Phillies to add to the win column, which would be big as they try and hunt down the New York Mets. The Mets are also in action early, and they check in around minus 160. Total for them is a 7 as Bassett gets the ball against St. Louis here. Again, the Mets obviously, you know, you could see that maybe the headspace is a little concerned about Max Scherzer, but they know more than we know here. But it's a guy like Bassett that's going to have to step up if they're going to be able to keep this ship afloat here in the absence of now potentially both Scherzer and DeGrom. What are you thinking here with the Mets going up against St. Louis?
Yeah, Hudson's got terrible numbers here on the season so far. So you see the Mets at a minus 152. And actually right now, if we get the updated numbers here from the FanDuel Sportsbook, that's actually bumped up another 10 cents here, Kevin, to a minus 162. And I got to say, I don't agree with it based on just these statistics that I'm looking at here. If we look at Hudson, 5.40 xFIP on the season, doesn't strike out very many batters, walks too many guys. So usually you land yourself in hot water. Now, if we also take a look at Daniel Hudson, or Hudson from the right side, 65 batters that he's faced, Kevin, 362 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 193. You can do damage against him, but check this out. From the left-hand side, which is Hudson pitching to, 83 batters, 257 weighted on base percentage, ISO power number of 071. He's been dominant against lefties, doesn't really handle righties. If you look at the Mets lineup or anticipated Mets lineup coming into today, right-hander Pete Alonso, right-handed Thomas Nito, everybody else left-handed, which is really interesting, right? If you actually had your way and you said, I'm going to have 7 left-handed batters in the lineup against a right-handed pitcher who's struggling, usually would sign yourself up because Hudson being a righty typically would be getting damaged or touched up by lefties, but it's the exact opposite. So if we're saying, okay, Pete Alonso can do damage and the 9-hole hitter, Thomas Nito, is basically a pop gun up there at the plate, Everybody else should be handled by Hudson. That's going to be interesting to see it play out. Now, if we flip it over to Bassett, he's a very good pitcher. 4.20 xFIP, which is a little bit high, but he's dominated lefty and righty batters here, weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers. But you do have some guys that have hit right-handed pitching this year very well here for the St. Louis Cardinals: Edmund, Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Yepes. If I'm looking at that price now, again, updated, and here we go again, just taking a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we're at $174 now, so -174. I think there might be a legitimate underdog shot here, maybe over the first five innings, underdog shot here with a bad pitcher in St. Louis, where maybe, Kevin, the matchup could be in his favor.
Man, this number, yeah, this number won't stop climbing up here. Now, as you mentioned, the Mets are -178.
Now.
Maybe if you're not against it too, you know, obviously, there's a nice dog price there on the cards at +150. But if you want to go maybe a Mets team total under four runs at -120, it could make some sense when you think about the way Donnie's trying to approach his game. The one thing I'm interested in, it's not posted yet, is that Chris Bassett strikeout prop. 6+ Ks for Bassett in all but one of his starts so far this season. Interested to see where they hang that number for him again today going up against St. Louis. Continue to move throughout this board here. Reds, Guardians, you know, man, the Reds were a team we were talking about a lot just because of how bad it was. They've been able to find a couple of more wins along the way, but still obviously a 10-26 record is horrendous. But whenever you look at that team, you ask yourself, all right, can we maybe line up and over? Because the way that they have been able to provide in that category, some runs here today maybe in Guardians Reds.
Yeah, Quantrill has a very bad xFIP minus number. So it takes into effect the league you're pitching in and also the ballparks that you're pitching in here. I believe it's a 129, so 29% above the Major League Baseball average, which isn't good. If you take a look at Quantrill in the season, a 5.85 xFIP number, which is disastrous. Doesn't strike out guys, walks too many guys. But here's the difference again that we're popping up to. And this usually doesn't take place. Maybe an anomaly, Kevin, where you say to yourself, maybe in the first start or two of the season, you get a high xFIP, but you had a lot of fly balls, but they just didn't leave the ball yard. And, you know, it doesn't really count against you all that much. Take a look at this. Again, 5.85 xFIP number, bad xFIP minus numbers. But look at his weighted on base averages here. 62 batters for the left-hand side, a 317 with an ISO power number of 100. Right-handed batters, Kevin, 81 plate appearances, 265 as a weighted on base percentage and an 081 ISO power number. So sooner or later, something is supposed to give. His X numbers, which means what we anticipate is going to happen, he should get blown away any point at this time. So if we're looking at a total in this game, not great lineups that are matching up against each other. Molly is the better pitcher for me overall, but sooner or later, something's going to have to take shape here, and Quantrill is going to get exploded on it. Maybe he gets that today.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, of course, you need the lineup to try and take advantage, right?
You do.
And here's an oddity. Listen, you know, there's no ATS trends, right, when it comes to betting Major League Baseball, but I think this is an interesting little note here. The Cleveland Guardians are 7-2 straight up when they're favored this season. Why I think that's relevant is they're a team that's not going to be favored a ton. To me, that jumps off the page as when they're favored, it means something. And again, it's not a big price here, right? At a -136. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to say, okay, there's no way the Reds are going to win consecutive road games. To some degree, I understand that logic there. So it's an interesting one. How about the Chicago White Sox, man? This team cannot find steady footing, though. Boy, do they have a chance today when you talk about Carlos Hernandez and a 9.11 ERA stepping up to the mound. This is a guy that's last game. Yes, I gotcha. It was in Coors. 4 innings, 8 hits, 9 earned runs. That's what he did his last outing. And really, the others haven't been all that much better. Is this a spot for the White Sox lineup, maybe? How about a 9.5 mid-July type total here between the Royals and the White Sox?
It does make sense. And let's also take a look here. Finally, one of those days where, I don't want to say the handicapping gods open up and say, take a look at this one, Donnie. 80 degrees at first pitch with 14-mile-an-hour winds blowing dead out to center field. So right away, you're like, you got my interest at this point here. Take a look at the pitchers. Hernandez for Kansas City, 7.07 xFIP. off the Richter scale is terrible, and his numbers do line up, Kevin. Well, I talk about, oh, look at this guy's xFIP at a 5.5, a great weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers. It's the opposite here. Lefties and righties absolutely scorch Hernandez. But the fact of the matter is, this lineup is horrendous versus right-handed pitchers so far this season with the White Sox. Every single guy in the 1-9 today that we're anticipating being, Kevin, in the starting lineup, below 325 as a weighted on base percentage. And then we flip it over and say, all right, let's line up who is on the mound today for the Chicago White Sox. Hey, Cy Young guy, Dylan Cease, we want to strike guys out. No, it's Vinny Velasquez and his 5.64 xFIP number. Now, he's actually done well against left-handed batters, but right-handed batters are absolutely torching him. The only issue is it looks like we're probably going to have five left-handed batters in the lineup today for Kansas City. But if you're just looking and you say, I'm going to look and say to myself, pitching is the most important aspect of a Major League Baseball team. And bad pitching, usually average hitting can get that done. I'm going to say these bats wake up today, and that 9.5 makes sense. It's perfect weather. Trash can pitchers on the mound. If this game ends up 3-1, all bets are off on this Major League Baseball season, even though the hitting matchups don't necessarily match up with the pitchers, but the pitchers are so bad and the weather is so nice, something has to give today.
Can we stick on the White Sox for a second, though? Because, you know, the Reds being bad, the A's being bad, the whatever it might be, right? The Pirates being bad, those lineups, right? You get it. The Tigers. You understand how that comes to be. The Chicago White Sox were supposed to be one of the very best teams in all of Major League Baseball. And I understand that that had plenty to do with the pitching that this team brings to the table. I understand that plenty. But it also had to do with a lineup that is, you know, Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu and guy after guy after guy. When you see these numbers on these guys, is it because, listen, this is a team that was relying on the home run ball more than we thought and the dead ball's really impacting them in a major way? Is it a slow start? How do you try and quantify the slow start for the Chicago White Sox when over the past couple of years, you would pull that team up many times last year and say, hey, listen, it's a Chicago White Sox kind of day?
I guess it's just the Chicago White Sox strictly built on a launch angle perspective from their batting. And that's the only thing I can think of here. Because if you're looking, you know, so many times you say to yourself, well, they're injured. They weren't that good last year. What did you expect this year? Like every year, like the Pirates roll out a lineup. They have like one good hitter in the lineup. Say, what did you expect out of the Pirates? Nothing. And what did you get out of the Pirates? Absolutely nothing. You look at this ball club here. Anderson, Moncada, Robert, Abreu, Grandal, Sheets, Pollock, Garcia, and Vaughn. They should be raking at the plate. And even if you said, Kevin, well, they're not all there yet. Five good batters, four batters that were expected to wake up. Everybody has been terrible. And that's the only thing that makes some sense. Because you're looking at, look at the first five guys on up. Grandal, Abreu, Robert, Moncada, and Anderson. Power hitters here. ISO power numbers, Kevin, as we said, 175 is good. That's where you'd like to be in Major League Baseball. Anderson, 115. Moncada, 111. Robert, 122. And Abreu, 132. And Grandal, an 079. That doesn't make any sense. The only thing I can think of is, hey, man, I'm knocking this ball out of here, but it's only going 330 feet when it needs to go 345 feet. It doesn't do that anymore. That's the only thing I can think of because this team being this bad for this long to start the season doesn't compute for me.
Look, I got to say, too, one of the overarching themes with Major League Baseball is going to continue to be the baseballs. While we were having this breakdown, I got an alert to my phone. You know what I mean? Yeah, just an article basically saying the Phillies bats woke up, or did they? Questions still exist around unjuiced baseballs, right? Like, we can't even have a team like the Philadelphia Phillies go out there, get the bats hot, have, you know, two down games and go, I guess what, they only juiced the West Coast balls? Which I guess is possible. If they send them out in bunches, it probably goes to maybe one ballpark, to the next ballpark, to the next ballpark there. Like, man, I got to tell you, Donnie, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, cut you off here, but I think that we are going to hit a drastic corner turn at some point where it's just going to be like, it's going to be June 1, and every park's going to have juice baseballs, and it's going to be home run season city. And I kind of hope that's the case here, but... man, it's just such a fascinating trend to follow. We do Heat Celtics next here on the Early Line.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Beat Celtics. Miami still favored at home. This number tonight is a 3.5. The total is 207.5. I think the initial question before what we like. So we opened at a 5, went quickly down to a 4, and now we're 3.5. Are people betting the Celtics, or do you think maybe we're going to see Marcus Smart inserted back into the Boston Celtics lineup here when you read these lines?
Looks like he's listed as probable for this game tonight, but probable just means that you have a chance to play, and even if you do play, doesn't mean you're going to be the old MVP defensive candidate, Marcus Smart, that's going to be out there. But quite frankly, if you are healthy enough to play and start, I'm going to expect a really good performance. Now, is that performance out of Marcus Smart enough to tilt the scales for the Boston Celtics without Al Horford, who, again, Al Horford's not the end-all, be-all. If Al Horford doesn't play, there's no chance the Celtics can win. We're not saying that, but just you send that bench into a little bit more of a tizzy now when those two guys aren't available. So if Marcus Smart, am I getting him back at 38 minutes tonight, Kevin, with a midfoot sprain, or am I going to get Marcus Smart that's going to try to give it a go? Because they're the ones that I worry about the most. And same way you could talk about NFL guys as they get ready for the week. Hey, strained hamstring, doesn't really practice much Wednesday, takes off Thursday, gives it a go Friday. But whenever I hear these words, he's going to test it in pregame warmups to see if he can go. Never a good sign, because that means there's a legitimate chance that I'm going to take one movement in the wrong direction and I can't play tonight and the trainers can't clear me. So if I'm looking at it from a Marcus Smart perspective, and if you like the Miami Heat, I like them even more. Put that news out here. Put it out at 2 o'clock. Marcus Smart's playing tonight. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I want to see that number go to 3 or 2.5, if that's even possible. Because just the fact that Marcus Smart is coming back onto the court, that doesn't say, okay, the Boston Celtics are in it to win it tonight. I still like the Miami Heat in game two tonight at that -3.5-point price.
Yeah, look, Miami's not been touched at home. We've talked about this quite a lot. I agree with Donnie as well. If you want to bet the Miami Heat, I think you're waiting. To see the Marcus Smart injury news, because if it comes out that he's going to play and this goes down to 3, I'm assuming you're going to like the Miami Heat a little bit more. If you like the Boston Celtics, I don't know if you have to run to the 3.5 now, because if they say Smart's out, right, and it goes up to a 4, well, so, you know, you might wait. Where if it goes down to 3, from 3.5 to 3, you might be willing to take that risk if Marcus Smart's going to be a determining factor in how much you like this. I think what you're hearing is, you know, and I think you and I feel the same way, Smart's in or not, I'm going to like Miami tonight. Maybe a Boston bettor needs Marcus Smart out there to feel a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more confident around this game. Now, we've talked about Miami at home. They have won by double digits every single home game that Jimmy Butler has played in. Their only time that they did not cover a home postseason game so far, Jimmy did not play. It was game number 5 against the Atlanta Hawks, and they won 97-94. Now, again, I still think that's impressive in its own right. And it was a narrow non-cover, actually, as that number closed at around a 4 with Jimmy Butler in his absence there. But here's the Boston Celtics team that has not lost consecutive games throughout this postseason, right? The back-and-forth nature of that Milwaukee Bucks series, and of course they swept, we know, the Brooklyn Nets. How hard do you think it is going to be to try and beat the Boston Celtics 2 times in a row? Because I do think that matters. In the same way that I thought Milwaukee had put themselves in the driver's seat by winning game number 1 against Boston, and they did until they obviously squandered the 3-2 series lead of, okay, I don't have to win 2 in a row now, right? I now can just kind of go 1 by 1 by 1, and this is going to work in my favor here. How tough is the idea of beating Boston 2 times in a row?
Oh, it's tough. They're a good basketball team. There's no question about it. And if the Boston Celtics were full go tonight, Marcus Smart, 100% healthy. Al Horford coming back into this lineup, 100% healthy off of COVID and starting, which then again, you're also getting Williams back at center. This is a better team, actually, than what had lined up against the Milwaukee Bucks, you could argue, at this point, just getting players back. But I don't think you're going to get that yet. And as they like to say, you know, the series doesn't start until an away team wins on somebody's home court. I understand that. Do you want to go down 2-0 in a series? No, you don't. Can you fight back? Yes. But I got to be honest with you. Sometimes you look at it a little bit different, like with the Dallas Mavericks. I have to go down 0-2. They like to do that. If I look at the Miami Heat now playing so well at home, and let's just say this game is that same sort of performance. Touch and go in the first half here. Miami pulls away, wins by double digits. Let's look at the series and say to myself, well, Miami just has to continue to do this at home, and it doesn't matter what happens in the TD Bank Garden up in Boston at this point. This is a massive game for the Boston Celtics. They're going to come to play. Why? Because they're a good basketball team. They got a good head coach. But if I'm leaning on Spo down there in South Beach with a healthy lineup for the Miami Heat outside of Kyle Lowry, who right now I guess they don't even get healthy when you can get healthy. We'll see you when you see you. It's a very good basketball team. And I look for a lot more of the same where even if the Celtics come out hot, it's the Miami Heat. They're on their home court here. And I think you brought up that point saying, hey, if they can just make it to game two, they're going to be much more rested here. It's basically, 48 hours later where these guys played massive minutes and still might not be able to get Al Horford back and Marcus Smart. I don't see the advantage of them settling in for game two when Miami's been at home for well over a week and a half at this point after closing out the Philadelphia 76ers in game six.
Yeah, look, here's the other thing for Boston, and I try to make this point off of game number one. It's not as if you go, listen, nobody was beating Miami that night. Miami had one of those games in each of the first two rounds at home. There was a game against Atlanta where they where they hit 48% of their threes. There was a game against Philadelphia where they hit 48% of their threes. When your opponent basically goes 50% from deep, hands up, nothing we can do here. Miami's going to do that at one point in this series. Maybe it's game number five. I think there's a really good chance that it's tonight, though. Shooting 10 of 30 in the opening game of this series. Look, 3 of 8 from Max Strus and 3 of 7 from Gabe Vincent is solid, but we've seen Jimmy step it up from beyond the arc. I think Tyler Hero's 1 of 5 can improve a little bit more. Now, it was not a bad night for Miami because Miami's had those. I think a lot of teams have throughout this postseason, 25% from 3, right? I don't think you get that tonight from the Miami Heat. I think there's a legitimate chance that the Miami Heat are shooting the lights out, actually, in this basketball game. The where I think then you can start to look at Miami would be a first half team total of 50.5 points. If they can have a big first quarter, obviously you would expect to be in cruise control. And even if you have a disappointing first quarter, 23 points, you're going to need 28 in the second quarter. That's reasonable. You're going to feel like that's in range. When we talk about sides and totals and trying to break this down to where I feel most confident attacking, Miami's first half team total, 50.5 is my favorite way.
Yeah, I like these type of angles here. And I talked about yesterday, like with the Dallas Mavericks, saying to yourself, if there's a way to – now, the Mavericks lost the game outright. But I was saying if the Mavericks don't play well in the first half, which they didn't, probably not going to come back and have a big third quarter or fourth quarter to win that game. And they didn't here. So even though they didn't win, the prognosis was, hey, if they're up at the half, they have a legitimate chance to win. Maybe they don't, but at least they're in the ball game. You look at some of the things that come into tonight, because how do you think they're going to play in this game? The first quarter and the second quarter is very interesting to me, also from a Celtics perspective, because – you had a great start, right, in game one. It didn't work out in your favor because the bottom dropped out in the third quarter. Maybe it was fatigue. Maybe Eric Spoelstra is the greatest coach in the history of the NBA and made every adjustment possible where he knew that they could go on a 22-2 run to start the quarter. Obviously, that's not the case here. But if I'm looking from another start here, you can't afford, if you're the Boston Celtics, to have a bad first half day. You can't do it. You can't enter the break being down 7 points as opposed to the night before going, hey, we basically had a double-digit lead in the first half. And we let that one slip away. So the same way I look at, you know, that Mavericks perspective where they need to play well in the first half, I think the Celtics need to play well in the first half as well. They need to have the lead to have to say, hey, didn't work out in our favor. Let's make the adjustments and come out in the third and fourth quarter and be the better basketball team, not the Miami Heat. So if I'm betting from a Celtics perspective tonight for me, Kevin, I will take them in the first half, because if they don't have the lead at the break or are covering at the break, the Miami Heat are probably going to close the door in the third and the fourth quarter and take a 2-0 series lead here.
First half spread is 1.5 is what the Heat are laying. And by the way, they have gone over 50.5 points in all but one of the first halves in games played in Miami, with the lone exception, that game against Philly where they trailed 51-50 at the break. So your loser was by the hook. Obviously, that would be devastating. It's a loser is a loser. But again, I feel pretty good about that tonight. Let's talk about the two stars here, Tatum and Jimmy Butler. Jason Tatum's points prop, 28.5. Jimmy Butler, 26.5. If you take a look at these guys, kind of to fill it up across the board, Tatum's got a 40.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Jimmy Butler has a 39.5 points, rebounds, and it says two best players in this series. Are you looking to back or fade either one of these guys tonight?
Yeah, it's interesting here. So we take a look here while we're doing the show. And again, you know, some people like to reach out on Twitter and they asked us a question here with Scott B. 26.5 for Jimmy Butler seems low. And quite frankly, it does seem low to me, right? It really does. If I'm not going to get a healthy Marcus Smart that's going to say, okay, I'm going to take it upon myself to single-handedly shut down Jimmy Butler or try to get in his way, or maybe we can rely more on double teams because, you know, Marcus Smart can take away another player here. I think that does seem light. And at the same time, I think that seems a little bit light. I, again, look at the Jason Tatum price at 28.5 the same way I did Kevin in game one. I say, it seems heavy. If the players that score into the 30s against the Miami Heat, doesn't seem like it happens quite a bit. And we even used to joke in Play Sports Center, whenever it was, whenever you say, what do you think about the props tonight against the Miami? I'm not taking any props from a visiting team, road team, or an opposing team that are playing the Miami Heat because of how well they can play defense. And I still stand on that today. When we looked at that game one number on Tatum, it was 27.5. By game time, it went down to 26.5 and even lower than that. He still winded up getting that with a late three in the fourth quarter, buoyed by a great first half. But if I see the 28.5, I automatically, Kevin, round that up in my head to say he needs 30 points to hit his total in this game. And I'll just bet against that. I'll take the under on Jason Tatum and the over on Jimmy Butler tonight.
I think that's reasonable. The interesting thing with that Tatum performance is simultaneously he had a career first half, tied for the most points he scored in the first half in his postseason career, and a very bad second half, right? So it wasn't a full-on, oh, that's the best game Tatum's going to play. But it was probably the best first half he's going to play. Again, like it tied a career high, yet you would think he has a little bit more. If you want to back Tatum, his three-point shot tonight's 3.5. In this postseason, he has gone under that number only a few times, three times. In two of the three, he has bounced back, though, to come over the top, right? So I would think that you could see Tatum, and more so even when Tatum only makes two, which like he did 2 of 9, he makes some sense. Here's an interesting number on Jimmy Butler. 7.5 rebounds with plus money to the over. How about Jimmy Butler in 7 of his last 9 with 8 or more rebounds? Attacking the glass, Jimmy Buckets now, over these last couple of shots here. And that starts to jump out a little bit. Here's another number I want to make sure I bring up, and then I'll toss it back to you, Donnie. Points plus rebounds for Robert Williams, 18.5. Now, the numbers going into, he had played, I believe, it was 10 games without Al Horford, and he was 8-2 to the over of the last game number, which was 16.5. So they jumped it up 2 points here. But I think that only takes one of the wins away, but he had 18-9 in that one game. So Robert Williams, 18.5 points plus rebounds, while Al Horford jumps out to me quickly. Anything else you're looking at for this game?
Yeah, if we're looking at 3-point props here, obviously Jason Tatum over 3.5, minus 128. He'll be in the ballpark there. He's going to shoot a lot, probably expected 25-plus shots tonight. But Jalen Brown's, he's as expensive. Over 2.5 at a minus 154 price. That secondary option I look forward to. You know, Max Strus, expensive as well, over 2.5 at a minus 170. But we know those guys that play at home, those secondary options, typically play wetter. But I'd be looking at Jalen Brown's here, 2.5. I think he can make 3 3-point shots today, I do.
Yeah, more than reasonable there. There's a couple of guys that jump out. You know, Strus, Tatum, Jalen Brown, probably do some three-point player props there if you want. I'm interested to see if Jimmy Butler gets back in the three-point column tonight after going for 41, but an 0-for-2 night from downtown. Excited. It's game number two. It's Miami and Boston. And we'll, of course, be covering it all on the early line. But up next, it's going to be this night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Alrighty, last segment of the day for the early line. Right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh. And you know, we set the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Now, hey, the PGA Championship is underway right now. And if you blink right now and say, who is actually on top of the leaderboard? No, it's not Tiger Woods. It's actually John Daly, minus 1 through 3 holes here. Yes, you got that right. That John Daly, which is incredible. But you know what even is more incredible here? Texas A&M signing every five-star under the sun. And that's setting here Nick Saban sounding off on the NIL. Listen up. All right, big dollars now in college football. Coaches making ridiculous amounts of money here. Players now also with the ability to sort of check in and make some coin themselves. Now, when the NIL was put in name, image, likeness in college sports, particularly college football, it was meant so some of these kids who have that national standing can get paid. Or some of these kids can come on campus and by their junior year be a good football player and the local pizza shop on campus can give them a few $100, a couple pizzas a week, maybe sign autographs one day or send a simple tweet, hey, a large pie is $9.99 tonight down at X Pizza Shop here. But now we're taking a look where maybe it was coming to campus and signing up with a car dealership and signing some autographs. And they give you a car and a couple $1,000 a month just to pimp it out and say, hey, I bought my car over at XYZ dealership here. But now the case popping up here in Texas A&M and what Nick Saban is talking about is buying recruits, which basically saying, you don't have to do anything. We don't care about your name, image, and likeness. We actually have $1 million cash waiting here as long as you sign, and you don't have to do anything for that. The NIL was meant for some of these kids to reach out and make some money on their own, some pocket change here. And even the bigger quarterbacks to make a few $100,000 would be possible. But if this leads to, hey, let's just pay the kids before they get to campus, somebody's got to step in. I do think Nick Saban is right in that aspect. It's the Wild West. You can pay them. Get out there and pay them. Guys, make sure you stay tuned right now to The Morning After with Ben Stevens right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No.